chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, we'll read verses 21 through 24, and then verses 28 through 32, and then we'll be over in chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. But Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Then to go down to verse 28 through verse 32. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then over in Genesis chapter 6, begin reading with verse 7. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. What we've read here in Genesis 5 is a portion, again, of the genealogy of Adam through the line of Seth. I believe that this line is identified with the sons of God in Genesis 6 in verse 2. Now, this particular genealogy, Genesis chapter 5, follows another genealogy portion of Scripture, Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 through verse 26, which was the genealogy of Adam through the line of Cain, which was a dishonorable list of the godless. So we have two genealogies, chapter 4, chapter 5, one from Adam through the line of Cain, Genesis chapter 5, Adam through the line of Seth. Now, leading up to our text in Genesis chapter 5, we have the record of Enoch, which we saw this morning. And there are six men, or six generations, leading up to Enoch. We have Adam, Seth, Canaan, Methuselah, and Jared. So, just as it says in Jude 14, Enoch is the seventh from Adam. Now, if you go through there and you add it up, it's from Adam to Enoch is 622 years. And then following Enoch, there's a record of three men or generations. You have Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. So what we have here in chapter 5 are 10 generations from Adam to Noah. You add it all up there and you have 1,056 years from Adam to Noah. From the genealogy, 1,056 years from Adam to Noah. And then in Genesis 7 and verse 11, we are told that Noah was 600 years old when it began to rain. So we learn it was not millions of years from Adam to the flood. It was 1,656 years from Adam to the flood. And you can see that if you take the time. Doesn't take that much time to just add up the years that are listed in the genealogy. In verses 28 through 32, we come to the record of Noah, the 10th generation from Adam. So again, what we read here in Genesis 5 is the godly line of Seth. And this follows the ungodly line of Cain. Going into Genesis chapter 6, we see the multiplication of the human race. And we see great apostasy. And in Genesis, the early verses of Genesis chapter 6, you have the record of these two lines, Cain and Seth, the ungodly and the godly coming together. They are commingling. The sons of God married the daughters of men. So these two lines have come together. And it's been happening, of course, for some time. Our text verses center upon two individuals, Enoch and Noah. Now, if you look at the genealogy, there are 434 years between these two men's births, Enoch and Noah. And from the genealogy, we see that Enoch died 69 years before his great-grandson Noah was born. So Enoch and Noah never knew each other, never saw each other. Yet, they have so much in common. They both serve as an example in that they walked with God. Now, there were many who walked with God, but there are only two individuals in the Bible, Enoch and Noah, that we are specifically told they walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. They never knew each other. They both walked with God. These two men, Enoch and Noah, lived and served God in days much like our own. And this was the result. Their walk with God was the result of a miraculous transformation in their lives. And they both received a message from God, which contributed in their walk with the Lord. In receiving a message from God, they both knew what was going on. They both knew what was happening. And they both lived like they knew what was going on. God's people today claim to know what's going on, but they sure don't live like it. We need to live like we know what's going on. We need to live like we know the days in which we live. So I want to speak tonight on a life compelled by the message of God. Again, both of these men received a message from God. And this compelled them to live a certain life. They walked with God. So consider first of all the basis of their living. Again, both Enoch and Noah are identified by the fact that they walked with God. What a wonderful identity. How wonderful to be known. They walked with God. It is Enoch. Again, pass over the verb, with God. It is Noah. Pass over the verb, with God. Together with God, in conjunction with God, joined with God, side by side with God. Enoch with God, Noah with God. This defined their lives. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. The purpose, the activity, the direction of their lives were with God. Their lives were radically different than the masses around them. They walked with God. The center and the focal point of their lives was God. There were temporal realities, but the reality of God overshadowed all the temporal realities. Again, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. What that means is it was God that gave meaning to their lives. It was God who was the influential force in their lives. It was God who was the object of their lives. The lives of Enoch and Noah consisted of, just like our lives, decisions, choices. They had motives, they had desires, they had pursuits, they had purposes, they had hopes, they had expectations. And they all centered upon God. They walked with God. They both lived their lives together with God. Side by side with God. So they walked with God. The very first thing that is implied in that statement, Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God, is that a reconciliation had taken place. A reconciliation with God. A very pertinent question is asked in Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And Enoch walked with God. Enoch and God were in agreement. Noah walked with God. Noah and God were in agreement. They were in harmony with God. And it wasn't that God conformed to Enoch or God conformed to Noah, but Enoch and Noah conformed to God. And it was God's doing. A lot of people today want God to conform to them. Well, I've got news for you. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. We need to pray that God would conform us to Him. And that's the work. That's the doing of God. So a reconciliation has taken place, and this is the doing of God. A miraculous transformation has taken place, and this is the doing of God. Enoch walked with God. Now notice concerning Enoch in verses 21 and 22, Enoch lived 60 and 5 years, begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. His life is looked at in two segments. Not equal segments, but two segments. 65 years and 300 years. Enoch lived 65 years and then Methuselah was born. And after Methuselah was born, we are told that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. At the age of 65, a life-defining God event happened in the life of Enoch. Now regarding Noah, we read in Genesis 6 verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. And then in verse 8, but, glory to God, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's an event. That's a transforming event. So again, Enoch and Noah, you have two God-wrought, miraculous, life-transforming events. You have two individuals being reconciled to God. So the very statement implies reconciliation. They have both, as we've already mentioned, received a message from God. Both Enoch and Noah received a message from God. And this message of God found deep lodging in their hearts and turned their lives upside down. Regarding Enoch, age 65 was a transitional point in his life that would profoundly affect the rest of his life at age 65. Now, he lived 365 years. So when we talk about Enoch at age 65, we cannot look at that as you and I think of age 65. It's two entirely different things. We need to put it in its proper perspective. But for 65 years, the life of Enoch seems to follow the pattern of the genealogy. But at age 65, something happened that would profoundly affect the rest of his life. At age 65, considering that Enoch lived 365 years, that would mean that Enoch at age 65 had only lived 17.8% of his life. So if you put that in perspective, if you and I live to 100, that would be the equivalent just before our 18th birthday. Or if you and I live to be 75, some of you have already passed that, this would just be 3 months past your 13th birthday. So once again, you can't look at Enoch at 65 as we look at 65 today. So we see it's early in his life. Something happened that changed his life. At age 65, Enoch was very young. Now, you may not consider 65 today as young, but it's not very young. There's no way you can say, boy, that person's very young at 65. No, they're not very young. If you're 90, you may say they're young, but they're not very young. But Enoch at 65 was very young. Again, put it in perspective. So there's Enoch, just short of 18% of his life. And something happened that would drastically change the way he lived the rest of his life. What happened was Methuselah was born. But it was not simply the birth of a son that made this dramatic impact upon the life of Enoch. There's much more to it than that. God in His sovereignty caused His son to be named Methuselah, which means when he is dead, or when he dies, it shall be sent, or it shall come. Methuselah, his name means when he dies, God's judgment, speaking of the flood. Now, Enoch didn't know about the flood. God's judgment would come. So Methuselah was a symbol of the approaching judgment of God. Enoch received in his son a message from God. That message is, judgment is coming. When your son draws his last breath, judgment will come. He not only received a message from God in the birth of his son, but that message got a hold of him. So much so that it changed his life. I believe that that message gripped, squeezed, and pressed the heart of Enoch. And for the next 300 years, Enoch lived believing and knowing that when his son died, God's judgment would come. People say today, Jesus can come at any minute. Yes, that's true. But how many are living like it? Not many. God did not tell Enoch when his son would die. Enoch knew the time could be short. And he lived the rest of his life knowing that. And he walked with God. Enoch lived the next 300 years knowing that the end could come at any moment. Can you imagine if you know that when your child dies, God's judgment is coming? What are you going to think every time that child gets sick? You're going to get concerned. Every time he looks a little pale. You feeling okay, Methuselah? Maybe you better go lay down for a while. He knew the end was near and it changed his life. You see, Enoch knew and he understood that he was living in a society under the impending wrath of God. And so are we. But there aren't many living like it. Enoch understood and believed wholeheartedly the message. And for the next 300 years, he walked with God. Enoch truly got the message. Oh, that people, that God's people sitting in the Lord's churches would truly get the message of this book. Would truly get it. There's not many who get it. Regarding Noah, we read in Genesis 6, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He received a message from God. Upon receiving that message from God, Hebrews 11:7 tells us that Noah was moved with fear. That message moved Noah. It moved him with reverential awe. And then it says he was moved with fear and prepared an ark. So the message of God had an effect upon the affections of Noah and upon the actions of Noah. Noah was moved inwardly and Noah was moved outwardly. And it would show in his life. So if you look at the genealogy, just do it again. When Methuselah dies, God's judgment will come. So if you look through the genealogy, do a little math, watching it bringing us to the judgment of God. In Genesis 5, verse 25, we read that Methuselah was 187 years old when he begat Lamech. 187. He lived 782 years after the birth of Lamech. So Methuselah lived 969 years. But again, he was 187 when he had Lamech. We read in Genesis 5, 28 and 29 that Lamech was 182 years old when he had his son Noah. So you add the 187 of Methuselah, the 182 of Lamech, you have 369. So Methuselah was 369 years old when his grandson Noah was born. 369. Get that in your mind. 369. In Genesis 7, verse 11, we read that Noah was 600 years old when it began to rain. 369 plus 600, how much is that? 969. How many years did Methuselah live? 969. It's right there. Methuselah dies, and guess what? The rain began to fall. You ever wonder, why did Methuselah live so long? It's not a coincidence that Methuselah lived such a long life. 969 years. It is a testimony of the long suffering of God. Of all the men in the genealogy, no one lived longer than Methuselah. Because when Methuselah dies, judgment is coming. That's the end. And he lived 969 years. That's another message, but it's, I'm working on it right now in my mind. It's a picture of the long suffering of God. Methuselah. So you have Enoch and Noah. And though Enoch and Noah never knew each other, they both received a message from God that gripped and squeezed and pressed their hearts and compelled them to live radically different lives than the general masses. The message of God that had such a powerful impact upon these two men is basically this. Time is short. And you don't know when it's going to end. Time is short. Neither Enoch nor Noah could get away from the message of God. It's very depressing to see how quickly God's people get away from the message of God. 5 minutes after it's preached, perhaps most couldn't tell you what was preached. They get away from the message. By Wednesday, they've forgotten all about it. It's like it never happened. They get away from the message. But this was a message that Enoch could not get away from for the next 300 years. And Noah couldn't get away from it either. It had an effect upon their lives. The message of God gripped their hearts. And they had a different approach to life now. They had a seriousness that they didn't have before. They had an urgency that they didn't have before. They had a passion and an earnestness. They had a commitment and a devotion and a dedication to God. Here we are, living in the last days of the last days. The reign of the Antichrist is going to be ushered in. And most of God's people just go merrily along as if nothing is happening. We need to be gripped by the message. It gives us a greater seriousness and urgency. The message of God gripped their hearts. And I believe it changed their motives. I believe it changed their thinking. I believe it changed their viewpoints and their focus and their priority and their goals and their pursuits. And these things were God-centered like never before. Oh, the message needs to get a hold of us. The message of God gripped the hearts and their lives so that they now recognize God's rule in their life. 300 years! And he had this testimony that he pleased God. If you and I lived 300 years, would we have a testimony that we pleased God? 300 years, a long time. God's throne was established in their hearts. The message of God gripped their hearts, and their lifestyle was now intertwined with God. Their lifestyle was now weaved to God. The message of God gripped their hearts. And now they wanted to worship Him and praise Him and love Him and serve Him and have fellowship with Him and to be near Him and to know Him and just to be identified with Him. The message gripped their hearts. There are God's people who are hardly even identified with God's people because they spend so little time in the house of God. The message needs to grip their hearts. The message of God gripped their hearts, and they were now occupied with God. They were obsessed with God. The message of God gripped their hearts, and God's power was upon their lives. And they lived every day as if this might be the last. This might be the last. The message of God gripped their hearts, and God was not a sideline. And when the message of this book gets a hold of you and grips your heart to the degree that you can't get away from it, God will not be a sideline. God will be your life. Enoch with God, Noah with God. And that'll be us when the message grips our hearts. They were no longer considered normal by the standards of their day because a message got a hold of them. The message of God truly got a hold of Enoch and Noah. And the pattern was broken. You watch dysfunctional families, and the dysfunction just continues from one generation to the next. It's so sad. But it just continues. It doesn't have to. If a life-changing event takes place, whether it be the message getting a hold of an individual, but a life-transforming event taking place, and the pattern of dysfunction is broken. It's broken. We've preached on it before. I think Joseph came from one of the most dysfunctional families that was ever placed on the face of the earth. And Joseph live for God. Don't blame it on your family. That's not the problem. Enoch and Noah, they both got it. They both got it. And they lived their life like they knew what was going on. So let's make a little bit of application to ourselves. Notice over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. You received the word of God, and you received it as the word of God. You received the message of God, though it came through, in this case, Paul. It wasn't the message that Paul preached. It was the message that God preached. And they received it that way. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you, which believe. This needs to be us. Receiving the message of God as God's message. And having that message work in our lives. Working within. In this day when it is so common for the word of God to pass in one ear through the other and to be forgotten almost as soon as it is heard, oh, how we need to receive it deep within our hearts, compelling us to live radically different lives. Many of God's people just don't get it. And therefore they live lives of spiritual neglect. Here we are in a postmodern society and culture that has been taken captive by that which is satanic. When most bow and sacrifice the altars of humanism, intellectualism, pragmatism, political correctness, materialism, tolerance, all for a people to be compelled by the message of God. Here we are in a society and culture surrounded by that which is vile, ungodly, and absolutely shameful, and repulsive to anyone who has any moral sense at all. And these things are not only prevalent, but they're accepted. And they're not only accepted, they're paraded around. And they're not only paraded around, they're applauded. We live in a sad day. And oh, that the message of this book would get a hold of us where we can't get away from it, and it would transform the way we live their lives. Oh, for a people compelled by the message of God. Enoch did not know when Methuselah would die. Noah did not know when God's judgment would come, but they both knew it was coming. And they both knew that it could be at any time. And here we are, on the verge of Jesus returning in the sky. We need to live like we know what's going on. Jesus could come today. We ought to be praying that He does. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ought to live like we know Jesus could come today. And when he does, when Jesus returns, you and I will be caught up. And the reign of the Antichrist will be ushered in. And the tribulation period will begin. We're right on the verge. And most who profess Christ go merrily along as if they had no idea what is ahead. And maybe they don't. Filling their lives with the things and the ways of the world. It seems to me that we ought to be getting more and more serious about living for God, since we know what's coming. We need to be a people that live like we know what's going on. We so desperately need the message of this book to grip our hearts, so much so that we will have a growing seriousness about us, a growing urgency, a growing passion, a growing earnestness, a growing commitment, a growing devotion and dedication to and for God. We so desperately need the message of this book to get a hold of us. It would change our viewpoints, change our focus, our priorities, our pursuits, being more and more conformed to God. We need the message of this book to get a hold of us to the degree that we recognize more and more God's rule in our lives, and that God's throne would be more established in our hearts, and we would be more and more intertwined and weaved to God. We need the message of this book to get a hold of us, to really, truly get a hold of us, so that we would live the rest of our lives worshiping Him and praising Him and having more and more fellowship with Him and being drawn more and more near to Him, and that we would just know Him more and more and be more closely identified with Him. God has, again, Methuselah lived 969 years. God was very long-suffering. God has been long-suffering with this world. But it's not going to last forever. Judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. If you're here and unsaved, you need to seriously think about that. And if saved, it ought to compel us to serve the Lord. There have been a few presidential elections where we as God's people will say, the Lord has been gracious. The Lord has given us a reprieve. But look at each one of those elections. And I believe that God gives us a reprieve. Well, what have God's people done with it? Gotten more worldly. How long do you think God's long suffering is going to last? Oh, God's so good to us. He gave us a reprieve. And then they go out and live more and more in the world, get more and more involved in the world. God's long-suffering. He sure is. But there's an end to it. There's an end to it. You know, the coronavirus, I heard many people saying, we're Americans, we will overcome this. Really. There's an end coming. America. I don't care if we're Americans or not. There's an end coming. We've gotten through so much more, so much in our history. We'll get over this. I'm telling you, there's coming a day you're not going to get over it. As a nation. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. But oh, that it would grip our hearts. That we as God's people would be more serious than we've ever been about serving the Lord. More devoted, more committed than we've ever been in serving God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. I'm 66 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Humanly speaking, if I live to the age of my parents, I have about 15 years. That's a long cry from 300. What am I going to do with it? That's the question. What am I going to do with it? We need to walk with God. Whatever years God has left for each one of us, we need to walk with Him. God help us. Pray for one another. God would just give us the grace, the ability, the strength to walk with Him. Encourage one another to walk with God. Sharon and I were going into, we have no idea. We have no idea where we're going to live. We have no idea how we're going to buy a house. We have no idea. But we need to do it with God. You are going to be looking for a different pastor, and you need to do it with God. God is faithful. And we need to do what we do. We need to do it with God. If Sharon and I take each step, we'll see miraculous things happen. I believe that. If you walk with God, you take it step by step, you also will see miraculous things happen. Pray for one another. And our prayer ought to be, help us to walk with You. I don't need to figure it out. I have to stop myself. Don't go there. Because I can't figure it out. You don't need to figure it out. You need to just go with God. And God will reveal it. We have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful life that we are privileged to live. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us.